Blog Talk Radio.
Apologies for being late. I had a puppy issue.
Okay.
That's what you call when your almost 13-year-old dog who's on her way out loses her bowels and you step in it.
Oh. Yeah, it's called go buy a new puppy. That's exactly what happened.
No, it's called scream and cry and be mad, but just realize, well, you know, she's 84.
Those of us that are closer to 84 than further away from it have to tell you, shit happens. So as I was saying, we're going to have a totally female perspective show this evening.
Indeed.
Now that Kamal's here. So. I would ask how your day's gone, but I think you've told us.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. So, what shall we talk about? Do you want to talk about pink football uniforms or feminine products? Or
no, I think we can leave the Seattle Seahawks out of this.
Men suck in general? Or... Just pick.
Okay, well, I think, you know, being that today is National Thank God We Survived Valentine's Day Day, we should start off with a romantic Valentine's Day story. Oscar Pistorius.
Poor little pink tank.
Sadly, is accused of murdering his girlfriend down in South Africa on Valentine's Day.
And if you don't get the Tink Tink reference...
That's what he calls himself.
Well, no, Cat Williams did this whole piece on it on his stand-up 3 years ago. You can find it on YouTube. Just look for Cat Williams' Poor Little Tink Tink. But there's a lot of cursing in it, so you've been warned.
Right, and we in no way, shape, or form advocate any kind of cursing, not on this show.
Well, you know, but you might, you know, turn it on when one of your kids is walking through or try and listen to it at work.
Yeah, or with headphones, those wonder technology things of present day. But, yeah, evidently, for those who don't know the story of Oscar Pistorius, he was the South African sprinter who is a double amputee born with a birth defect that affected his legs. He had his leg amputated as a young boy and replaced with interchangeable prosthetics that qualified for and ran in the 2012 Olympics. He got smoked by runners, but there was a lot of controversy because some runners feared his ability, saying it was artificial enhancement, which is all a bunch of hooey. However,
he got smoked, but not until, like, what, the quarterfinals? Because he advanced further than we thought. Am I misremembering?
He was very accomplished. He was very accomplished. I mean, there's no disputing that even with the prosthetics, he's a very gifted runner and had qualified on his own merit for the Olympics and had won races and is very well known in South Africa and has endorsement deals, and he's known as the Blade Runner, but he does, you know, as you said, calls himself, I mean, he's known as Tink Tink by certain people, including himself, because that's the sound his blades make as he goes around the track.
See,
running.
I didn't know he called himself Tink Tink.
Yeah, he called himself Tink Tink.
Maybe he called himself Tink Tink
because he saw Cat Williams' special. I don't know.
That's a possibility. Now, I had a car that we called Tink Tink because that's what it sent me with, Tink 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 Tink.
Was that from running over people without legs? I mean, just wondering.
No, this car ran without a key.
Oh.
I could just get in and turn it on, Tink 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 Tink.
Oh.
And it didn't like Janet Jackson. Whenever I would put my Janet Jackson cassette in, it would literally spit it out and it would fly into the back seat.
Oh, well, my younger cousin would have destroyed that. My little cousin niece would have destroyed it. She loves Janet Jackson.
We don't know why. But I'm sorry I interrupted. Ting, 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 ting.
No. So anyway, so let's tell the story. So evidently, Oscar and his girlfriend have had domestic issues in the past. And
right.
She was fatally shot by him on Valentine's Day.
But you know what? Something ain't right with this story. Because they were saying that he feared, people coming in. That's why he had a lot of firearms. And one of his endorsement deals was, like, faster than a bullet or something like that because he likes to shoot. Pardon me. But he seemed, like, paranoid to me based on what they've been saying. And, you know, he apparently shot her through the bathroom door and then took the cricket club to break the door down when he realized what he did. But, you know, there's reports that there was blood on the cricket thing and that her skull was smashed in. So I don't know.
Yeah, all the details and facts have yet to come out. But I'm sure they will. We know they will. And evidently, because he ran in the Olympics, he must have thought he was living in America with his firearm issue.
I don't know, but the whole thing just seems weird to me. I don't know if he has some type of mental illness and, like, he's, like, paranoid and delusional. Because, I mean, if what's an intruder doing hiding in the bathroom?
Well, you know, if you're an intruder and you got to go, you got to go.
I guess. But I don't know. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I am not expecting an intruder to be in my bathroom, my kitchen, my living room, my basement, where I have, you know, expensive stuff, but not, you know, in the bathroom guarding my toilet paper.
You know, because I'm not a well human being, my speculation was that after an evening together, they had an argument, and she hid one of those legs, and he got upset. and she called him Blade Runner, and he said, I can also shoot. Pa-pow, pa-pow.
Well, you know, I feel for her, well, for her family, and I feel for his family. And, you know, at the end of the day, if it's proven that it wasn't an accident, you know, it's it's one of those really, really tragic sports stories.
Very tragic and very sad. The whole, regardless of how it turns out, what happened, the whole story is very tragic and very sad.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as an onion sandwich.
See, I knew you were going to go back and pick on poor little Carnival Cruise Line.
Okay. Okay, I sound like Joe Pesci. Okay. See, I was good with the story. You know, they were hobbling along, eating onion sandwiches.
We're talking about the cruise ship, not
the cruise ship.
About one of his legs, right?
Yeah, the cruise ship. And they get to port, and I'm like, praise be, you know, the people done been saved. And then they get on a bus. Get on a bus that breaks down.
See?
That would have been it for me. That is when I would have just seriously taken hostages. Look, I survived raw sewage on the floor and shit on the walls. I survived an onion sandwich. And now you mofos got me on a broken bus.
See, here's the thing that gets me. This is what I do not understand. How was it okay for people? Why were people okay with the fact that they were going to get off of this boat and be put on a bus? You're going to put me on a plane.
You're going to put me up in a hotel.
Yes,
because we're
nice
getting in late.
In a nice room. Without urine coming down the walls, without crap floating on the floor.
Then you're going to fly me home.
You're going to fly me, right? Exactly.
You don't understand. When I say I would have snapped, I would have got my little homemade shiv.
Right.
A ballpoint pen out of my purse, or my mascara wand, anything with a point. one of my insulin needles, and I would have held it up to somebody's neck. Give me a town car now!
See, this is what I'm talking about. That would have been me at the onion sandwich suggestion.
Well, yes. We talked about that. I would have had to take hostages twice. And I was talking to my friend, and she was like, well, if you're hungry enough, you would eat an onion sandwich. I told her I would eat toothpaste and mouthwash. For 4 days before I eat an onion sandwich. I might get into a bar of soap and maybe some deodorant, but it's going to be a long time before I eat an onion sandwich after they didn't have me with shit on the walls and peeing in a cup.
See, because first of all, the toothpaste wouldn't have been good for anything but eating, because there's no water and water. You can't brush your teeth.
Right, so you might as well eat the toothpaste.
Might as well eat the toothpaste. But as I told you before, I would have done my Gone with the Wind speech as I grabbed the little fat kid and ate him. And God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. Years ago, my father told me.
You got to throw a little color purple in there, and I kill him dead. Right. And as I told you, my Vaseline is Vaseline with cocoa butter, so it smells like a chocolate bar. I will dog that Vaseline up.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have been wearing that around me because you'd have been one et-up cocoa butter-tasting sister.
No, I would have just ate the Vaseline. I don't think you can get sick from eating it. Well, you won't get poisoned. You might get sick, but you're not going to get poisoned.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to be real careful because I'm telling you, you on a boat with 3,400 people who ain't eating anything, and you come walking by smelling like a candy bar.
Wait, remember that I Love Lucy when they were in that cabin, and all they had was some crackers, and Lucy was eating them, and then she was licking her fingertips and patting it on the ground to get the little crumbs. And see, you know what? You know, we talk a lot of mess now, but you know my cousin, little TL, she is Cruz Mama. So I told her I was going to pack her up a survival kit when she goes on her cruise in May. It's going to have MREs and one of them camping toilets for women that you just fold up. And one of those solar panels that you could charge cell phones with, and then she could charge people $5 a charge. You know how much money you can make with a solar-powered phone charger at $5 a head? I'm sorry for laughing at y'all's misfortune, but you have to understand, when you got on the bus and the bus broke down, I was done.
Yeah, well, you know what? Because here's the other thing. First of all, let's just step through this real quick because when they said the engine caught fire and we have no more power and we can't cook, my first thing would have been, where's the spam? I know y'all got spam and beans up on this thing. I'm opening some cans. I'm going to eat, okay? So then we run out of that food, and they say, okay, the toilets aren't working, so you're going to have to pee in this bag and do your business in this bag and leave it out in the hallway. At this point, the captain needs to be surrounded by armed security because I'm looking for
right.
Right?
But see, but you bring up an important part. Why didn't they have a contingency plan? Because it's not like there's no possibility that you would ever get stranded at sea. I mean, the probability is low, but it's not impossible.
Right, and it is a cruise ship, and they, you know, as for years people have been cruising. For years people have been trying to get me to go on cruises. And for years I've been looking at every incident of cruise ship malfeasance and go, hell no. So, you know, unless the cruise ship emergency plan was locked up in an electronic safe and they couldn't get to it.
And they don't have backup generators?
You know what? That's the thing with me. I'm like, why? Look, the first cruise ship for black people didn't work out well. Why would I need to go on another one? Because evidently.
Because how are those things powered?
Well, the generators are generated by the engine.
No, I mean, how is the boat powered? Does it have some kind of gasoline?
Yeah, it would have to be. I guess it would be some kind of diesel fuel.
Well, isn't that what generators take?
Yeah.
And if the engines are broken, you're not using the gas to move.
You might as well use it to cook. You can't really cook with diesel fuel. But
no, but you
again,
can run it back. You can run up some. You can run some generators.
I'm telling you, there would have been no way they could have kept me from eating for 5 days. I can't believe they have no food for 5 days. No food. None.
Right. And how those people walk, they would have had to carry me. Oh, Lord Jesus. You walk with me, Jesus, carry me. 5 days of no food. And there wouldn't have been no video cameras in my face.
No.
From the news. Get that camera out of my face.
No, because first of all, your hair hadn't been dead.
Right.
Right.
And you know, you know me. That's why I went out and bought an RV, because everybody wanted to go camping. And I was like, I'm not ever sleeping on the ground again. And I need my curling iron.
Well, here's Yale survival tips for those who like to cruise, if this ever happens to you. At first sign of trouble, find the galley and start gathering up the perishable food that you can eat raw. Bam, beans, canned vegetables, small quantities of bacon. Because I just can't believe, I just find it hard to believe that anything, any place that has a buffet of any kind does not have sterno. And you can cook on some sterno. It may take
right.
you a while.
Right, I can't believe that either. But you know what? You grew up the same way I grew up. I would be collecting biscuits just on GP.
Yes! Biscuits, you know, crackers, bar nuts, peanuts.
Just the snack on in my room at night, you know, a couple pieces of fruit. You know, I frequently come out of a buffet with a napkin with four biscuits in it. And a little pat of butter. That's how
put
I roll.
Put it on your resume. I can survive a cruise ship.
right.
And then the other thing is you must have a cabin with a window, because I'm going to pee out that window.
And
everything else,
you know,
I need to do going to come out that window.
Just in general, and I've told you this before, and I'm telling America before, carry wipes. Carry wipes.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
for those who are uninitiated, that's not a black actress from Django Unchained.
No, I mean, you know, wiping your butt with wipes, that's the business. Be prepared.
You must do what you need to do. You got to be prepared. You see, years ago, my dad told me a story of, I don't remember if it was he and a friend, with a buddy of his who was well known to drink heavily regardless of the situation, or this guy was with some other people. But years ago they were in some small town somewhere in the South, and it was election day, and they wanted to get a drink. And his buddy was with him, or the main guy in the story, was insistent on getting a drink, and everybody was saying, you can't get a drink. There's nowhere to get a drink, no place to get a drink because it's election day. And, you know, the bars, the liquor stores are closed on election day. And this friend said, just keep driving around. And they kept driving around, and they came across a guy who was obviously a wino. And they said, follow him for a while, see what he does. And after a minute, when he hadn't found any, he hadn't pulled up anywhere, they pulled him up and said, look, here's a couple dollars. Get yourself something to drink and get us something to drink, too. And he took them to a place, little spot, around the corner where they could all get to take care of. So this would have been Yale on the cruise ship. Find the fat kid. That fat kid going to find food.
Now, you need to find the black woman who's older and heavyset and loud, because you know she packed food.
Yeah, but, you know, first of all, if she's black, she's going to be more than packing food. She's going to pack attitude. They're going to be trying to keep her calm. Anyway, they're going to find food to give her just to
because, you know what, I don't know if your mama was like my mama, but we would go to the drive-in, the movie theater, and she would pull out her tinfoil and give us some chicken and some bread.
Yes.
And
a pork chop sandwich,
whatever.
Two pieces of white bread.
Two pieces of white bread and some chicken.
Right. Wrapped in some wax paper.
Ours was tinfoil, and just making all kinds of noise. You know, we sitting here trying to watch Star Wars, and all you hear is crinkle, crinkle, rustle, 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 because she's pulling out the saltines.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You caught a cruise ship and all the food you can eat, my eye. If this didn't happen the first day, there was some food to be had. And I would be finding it. Be damn, we'll go 5 days eating some, you know, offer me some damn friggin' onion and cucumber sandwiches. And when was the last time you saw a loaf of bread go bad in 4 days? Come on now. They got food. They had food. They were hoarding food.
But
you have
know
not
what?
Seen, and maybe because I haven't been looking, you have not seen a single crew member come on television talk about how bad the food conditions were. Some crew members had food.
Right, we got to keep the captain fed.
I'm looking for Julie, the cruise ship director. She got some food. Somebody is eating, and I'm not going to be the last one to get a meal.
Ooh, Lord.
That's all I'm saying.
But see, that's because you one of them well-read Negras. You're not from Mississippi.
See, no, I'm not going to let you do that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because black people in Mississippi knew they were free. It's the state of Mississippi.
I'm making myself cough. I'm going on mute.
Okay, so since Kamal has brought this up, let's bring it up. It's in the lead. Let's talk about it. Evidently, due to some slight oversight in government accounting, Mississippi failed to ratify on a state level the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. Oops.
Tell them what the 13th Amendment is.
No, I don't need to tell them. Oh, wait, we might have some listeners in Mississippi. We did have that brother from the South. I don't know where he was from that called in a couple last year.
He was from Mississippi.
Yes, he was from Mississippi.
Yes.
Which would explain his attitude. Okay. 13th Amendment.
It explains
to the Constitution.
A lot of what's been going on in Mississippi for the last 150 years. Oh,
just the other day, the state of Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which
recognizes that 2013.
That slavery was no longer the law of the land.
Wait, was it 158 years later?
Right. And it took somebody watching who went to see Lincoln.
Right, a professor went to see Lincoln, and he was fact checking it.
Right, and went. Wait a minute, the slaves are free.
Right. How come
Professor from Mississippi?
How come Mississippi ain't known?
Hey man, they freed the slaves.
Like, wait a minute.
Evidently, in the movie.
Somebody forgot to tell Mississippi that black people are free. Oh, my God. And I said, I would be pissed because I really want my 40 acres and a mule now. Y'all didn't have me on lockdown for 158 years.
This would explain why things were so bad in the movie The Help. This is why. People...
Right? And Mississippi burning.
Mississippi masala.
Right. And somebody had to know. Somebody had to know.
Of course. That's one of those oops, I forgot things.
Right.
You ain't telling? I ain't telling. They uppity enough as it is.
You uppity Negro, you better take that shit up north to Alabama.
Alabama. don't come down
yes,
here
with
your,
I know, Alabama's
with your riding
next
on the front
door.
Of the bus asking
right,
to be
you...
paid to do work. This ain't them northern
ain't
progressive
Kentucky.
States like Alabama
Tennessee.
And Kentucky.
Right. Where you think you are?
Georgia? you better take all that sinking up there. South Carolina,
right.
where they cotton to all that
right. You better
back
you better
people.
Take this. You better take your little uppity self up north to Tennessee.
That's right. We here in Mississippi. We don't play that. Why are you holding hands? Why are you drinking out that fountain?
Right, but you know what? On a serious tip, wasn't that one of the states that still has segregated proms?
Mississippi. I don't know if it is or it isn't, but I would not be surprised.
Not no more, right?
Right, now they're all upset.
Oh, man.
Now they're all upset. Y'all, wait a minute. We's free?
Oh, my people, my poor people.
And it took, again, it took a white professor watching Lincoln to realize that slavery was over.
Yeah, not some lawmaker of Mississippi who was going through and fact-checking, you know, the archaic laws and just, you know, being a
not
little
no
curious.
Not an activist. Not.
Not the ACLU.
Where was Jesse? Where was Jesse? How come Jesse didn't get pick up on this? Where was Al Sharpton?
Well, see, Jesse was living in the free town of Mobile, Alabama.
Can I say this as a sidebar? But this is going to cause a lot of problems, I know, because I know we have some people who love him, who listen to our show. But I just can't do Reverend Al anymore. I tried to like his show.
Every day he scrucks up a word. Can I tell you how he broke my brain last week? No, 2 weeks ago, when he had the enemies list for the NRA, and he had pictures of these actors, right? And I can't remember who the actors were at the top of my head, but he said Signore Weaver, and the picture they had of her made her look like some white dude, that white dude Malcolm, whatever the writer who has the Malcolm Gladstone. Anyway, he has a red afro, and I was like, "Who is Signore Weaver?" And so I went on the NRA website, and I couldn't find no Signore Weaver. So I said, "Well, let me look for Weaver." And then it says Sigourney Weaver. I said, "Damn, he was trying to say Sigourney." Sigourney Weaver and called it Signore. I said, between Signore and calling Skittles Skillets, I can't do it no more. I can't. God bless him, but I just can't do it no more. I'm going to go find Signore and have some Skittles. I mean, some Skillets. I'm going to have some Skillets.
I tried to watch the other day. And even though he was butchering the language, and we know Al can talk, but Al is the exact opposite of George Bush. George Bush would be in trouble when he went off script, right? Al is in trouble when he tries to read the script.
Right. That's the problem. He hasn't perfected reading the teleprompter. And reading the teleprompter is not easy. I've tried it, but
no,
it wouldn't take me 18
hard
months.
Either.
Yeah, it wouldn't take me 18 months to figure it out, especially when I'm on the air every day.
Yes, and it's like it's so unnatural to him, and when he's trying to read like little side stories that should be funny, it's painful.
Right,
it's
but
painful.
You know what he always gets right. Nice try, but we got you.
I look at it and I go, MSNBC, are we that hard up to have someone that's way left on TV that you got to go with Al Sharpton?
No, see, you know what, though? You stepped out of your lane right there because Fox just hired Herman Cain.
So now we do have fair and balanced.
Yes. Right.
Al Sharpton, and I'll raise you a Herman Cain.
Right. And there's a meme going around that is supposedly a quote by him that says he hopes that he can bring something like he hopes that he can be as professional as Sarah Palin. Now, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, I'm dying over here.
Oh, my God.
And I might just start watching Fox just so I can say, Herman Cain, 999.
Herman Cain never met a white woman he didn't bite.
Oh, God. Okay. I can't afford to laugh for the next, 50 minutes, because it's making me cough.
Okay, so let's move on, and let me ask you, since you brought this to my attention today, the guy who slapped the black kid on the plane, wasn't that flight out of Mississippi?
I don't know where it came from, but it was going to Idaho, where they routinely slap black people. So he was right in his element. Oh, my God. Okay. How crazy was that?
Oh.
I mean, it's one thing to call a black child, a nigger. It's a whole other thing to call him a nigger and slap him. And this is a toddler.
His mother was white, correct?
The little boy is adopted. He's adopted by two white parents. And, you know, I try not to further rationalize it, but, you know, one of the first things out of my mouth was, well, you know, oh, he called the boy a nigger. Now she knows how a black mother feels, you know. Not that every black mother goes through their child being called a nigger, but, you know, the probability is much higher than some white woman. And I hope that it was a sensitivity issue for her. You know, I don't have a problem with you know, white people adopting black children or Chinese children or whatever. I don't, you know, I just want a child to have a good home. But I also believe that if you're going to adopt a child that's not of your culture, you owe it to that child to at least expose them to their culture.
So in other words, you wouldn't hurt to act like a black mama and beat the living stew beans out of this on the plane.
You know?
We would have had a different story. White woman goes black on flight, kills white businessmen.
Right. Oh, so I'm a nigga? I'm going to show you a nigga. Wait right there. I'll be right back to deal with you. Somebody hold my baby.
Let me get my carry-on bag.
Right, right. Wait, somebody come here. Come take this child. Hold my baby. Because it's getting ready to be hell up and all of this mofo.
You can call my child a nigga and slap my child on the plane.
Right. Yeah. Oh, here. Somebody hold my earrings. Let me get my cocoa butter Vaseline.
Great.
Because, you know, I roll with cocoa butter Vaseline. Let me get my Vaseline. Somebody get my tennis shoes because I'm getting ready to stomp somebody.
I just need a sock and some nickels.
Okay. Give me your change. Come on. Everybody give me some change. I'm going to give it back.
I'm going to beat this man like he stole my cucumber and onion sandwich up in
right.
here.
Stewardess, you got some oranges? You got any kind of round fruit? I'm just going to borrow it for a second. I'm going to put it right here in this sock, and I'm going to beat the shit out of this man. And there were witnesses and people who came to her defense. He got out the plane alive, so the right people didn't come to her defense. But, you know, apparently there are people like, wait a minute, what? No, he did not.
Yeah, and he's claiming innocence, but they said he was drunk and
he's gonna go on the drug apology tour.
He's gonna end up being a spokesperson for the NRA is what's gonna happen.
No, you know what? What's gonna happen is before it goes to trial, they're going to get continuances and say, well, you know, he is in rehab dealing with his alcohol addiction and his sex addiction. You know, they'll say alcohol, sex. They'll throw a few other addictions in there. And, you know, he'll get to do community service because he was completely out of his mind, clearly, and drunk. Mm. Whatever. Mm. But you know what? You know, let's take race out of it.
Let's take race out of it.
You don't touch my child,
you're not going to make it to the landing strip.
Right.
And, you know, those of us who have traveled for a living or traveled a lot and have been on planes with screaming children know you do want to turn around and slap the child. You've had a kid sitting behind you kicking the back of your seat for a two-hour flight. You do want to kill a child. But I always look at the parent and say, you don't get your child.
Right. Can you control your child? But you know what? I have a friend who doesn't have any children, and he was like, well, I've been tempted. And I told him, I said, you know what? You need to spend 24 hours with a teething 11-month-old, and then you can come back to the discussion. I mean, it's just when the child is that young, there's nothing you can do. You know, they don't have a vocabulary to really articulate what's going on. I flew with my daughter when she was a baby, and another mother gave me a good trick. She said, you know, because your ears start to hurt when you're descending or ascending.
Yes.
She said, when, you know, the baby can't tell you that her ears are popping. So when you ascend or when you descend, pop a bottle in her mouth, and the sucking of the bottle will release the pressure in her ears, just like chewing gum. This is the best advice I ever had. My daughter never, ever cried on a flight, and we took a lot of trips when she was a baby because I would pop that bottle in her mouth real fast, and good night, Gracie. But not everybody flies often, or even if they do, they just don't know that that's a good trick. So you've got an 18-month-old or 2-year-old, and he can speak some, but really, can he really have a conversation and say, Mommy, the pressure is too much in my ears. I don't know why my ears hurt. You know, he may have stuck his finger in his ear or, you know, was rubbing his ear trying to articulate what was wrong. But at the end of the day, what is the child supposed to do? Now, a 4-year-old, like you said, kicking the back of your chair and just showing out and just being a total ass, that's when you talk to the parents and go, you know, can I help? You know, for me personally, when I'm on the plane with a kid that is out of control, I pull out my iPhone or my iPad and I turn to something really, really colorful and hold it in their face and I distract them. And I'm like, now give him some cough syrup or something. Put his little ass out because this has got to stop.
See, now we all have our horror stories, but one of the last flights I took, it was a mother on the plane by herself and she had 5 children.
Was she a farmer?
Oldest, huh?
Was she a farmer?
No,
I don't think so.
In this
day and age, I believe you do not need more than 4 children unless you're trying to run a farm. That's just my personal opinion.
Or start your own band. Your own child, kid band. But she had a baby in her arms, and she had 4 other kids. The oldest one looked to be about 8.
Mm-mm.
And the oldest one at 8 was trying to take care of the other ones.
Oh, bless their heart.
Were not sitting with her because she had a seat and she was sitting with another kid and holding the infant. And the other kid was sitting with his 2 siblings and trying to control it. And I kept thinking, why don't you take the 3 side aisle, because it was Southwest, so you sit where you want. Why don't you take the 3 side aisle, chair side aisle, and you sit in the middle holding the infant with the other 2 and let the 2 oldest kids sit by themselves across from you where you can give them that look. Like if I don't want... But what killed me is they got on the plane, and I knew it was going to happen because this is how my luck goes. They got on the plane last of all last.
I was
about to buckle up, and I was sitting down. And I said to myself, wow, I'm about to have a probably pretty cool flight. And here she comes with these 5 kids, and I looked around, and she was coming down the aisle. I still see it today like it was yesterday. She went past everybody else and came back to the part of the plane where I was sitting. And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. By the time I got to a point where I could fall asleep, the pilot came on and said, we're beginning our descent, so please.
Look, I'm trying to tell you, a little bit of dime a tap goes a long way.
Exactly. drug your child. But regardless, you can't smack another person's child. As much as you want to, you cannot choke another, I mean, sorry, choke, you can. You can't slap another person's child across the face.
Right. Not, you know, and not even a little thump or a little, you know, a little pinch. Slap.
Pluck him on the forehead, which is my move. Right in the middle of the
right.
forehead. That's it. No,
or grab the fleshy part of their arm where nobody can see you do it.
Right. Or act like you're trying to hug him and go, oh, isn't he cute? And that means you're trying to choke him out. Oh,
right. Smother him in my ample breast. Come here, baby. Give me a hug. Mama, no.
And speaking of terror in the skies, we didn't get to talk about this last week. The drones.
You know what? I am so on the fence about that. I hate the collateral damage. I really, really, truly do. But we can't have it both ways. You know, either. I mean, first and foremost, we should just stop altogether. But if we're not going to stop, do you want our soldiers still on the ground getting taken out by IEDs? Or do you want drones in the sky?
Well, one of your friends and I had an interesting conversation about this on Facebook, and I can't remember if it was Mary or if it was Sue.
It's probably Indira because she's really, really hot about the drones.
Okay. But to me, the drone warfare or killer robots, flying killer robots, are just another extension of what warfare and conflict is becoming. And I mean, not extension, but evolution of what warfare and all is becoming. You start off with hand-to-hand combat, you know, people punching each other, choking each other, throwing rocks. Then you get knives and swords, and then you get spears, and from that you get arrows, and then you get guns and grenades and rockets and missiles. And the whole idea is to be as farther away from your opponent as possible, so you can kill them without getting hurt or getting killed yourself. And now we have drone warfare where the actual pilots of the planes can be sitting in California and flying these planes in Afghanistan, these drone planes. So if they get shot down or crash, the pilot just has to, you know, explain what happened and get put in another control seat. But regardless of what happened, you know, regardless of if it's a drone or a fighter pilot in a plane or even someone on the ground in a tank or an armored personnel carrier shooting a gun, in warfare, and I know this sounds cruel and harsh, but there's going to be collateral damage no matter how you slice it. And like you said, unless we're not going to be there, when you fire ordnance at an enemy, you are going to risk collateral damage, civilians getting hurt. And they try to minimize this by not having a 400,000-man army crossing the desert into some little towns and blowing everything up in its wake. So I think it's terrible. I think it's horrible that, you know, a drone flying overseas, a known enemy combatant walking down the street with a group of his other friends, and the pilot of the drone get the permission to fire on this group of people, and 5, 6, 7, 8 people around him get injured and or killed as well. That's a bad thing. I understand that. But in the same situation, people around him are going to be killed regardless, unless you have troops on the ground going in, like the Navy SEAL Team 6 went after Osama bin Laden.
It's a no-win situation. It really is. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, we need to just end all conflict. But, you know, if we're going to pull our troops out and the conflict isn't over by whomever has set that standard, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't want to see anyone get killed unless they absolutely deserve it, and that's a whole other issue. Who am I to decide who absolutely deserves it? But
well, when you go on planes and slap two-year-olds, you high up on the list.
You high up on the list. Exactly. But you have to weigh the pluses and the minuses, and when you have Congress saying, or certain members of Congress saying, well, we want an accounting of why you decided to use these drones to kill American citizens, you know, that's a whole other issue that comes in, because if you declare that you are fighting for the enemy of the United States, in my opinion, you are no longer privileged to the accords and sanctions and protections of your American citizenship. If you become an enemy combatant freely and of your own free will, and you declare that you are, you know, out to kill other American citizens, then we are out to kill you. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with these so-called terrorists. American used to be Americans, want to be Americans. I don't have a problem with what is done to take them out.
And, you know, it would be different if they had slinked back into their little corner, their little cave, their little whatever, and was licking their wounds. They're still cutting up.
Right.
You know, I mean, the whole, you know, trying to get a foothold into Mali and there was a suicide bombing. There's been several suicide bombings these last couple weeks in various points over there. They just don't get it.
Well,
sit your ass down somewhere.
Here's my true confession. I was always on the fence anyway about should American CIA or whatever, should they use enhanced interrogation techniques, a.k.a. torture, to get information from terror or known terrorists or suspected terrorists or whatever. And I've been on the fence about that, leaning more toward basically what Obama said, America should not torture, and what we were doing was torture, and we're going to stop. Imminent threat notwithstanding, when you have some people who are bound and determined to kill Americans and would, under certain circumstances, be strapping bomb-laden vests to their bodies and walking into a crowded area and detonating it and killing themselves and everybody else, can you really torture that person to the point where it's inhumane? I mean, they're trying to kill themselves and other people too. So, I mean, I know this is a touchy subject, but I really believe, and again, this was brought to the forefront for me when I just recently saw Zero Dark Thirty, and I think the techniques that were being used were cruel and extreme. And
supposedly being used.
And I would hope that they weren't being used on everyone or across the board. But I think circumstances are circumstances. And if it was wrong and the policy of the new policy of this administration is we're not going to do it anymore, then we don't do it anymore. But
let's not pretend
that it didn't happen when it was obvious that it happened. And don't say it's not what it is just so you can justify doing it. I think that's where my biggest issue was. When people
see,
were saying, well, it wasn't torture.
Well,
yeah,
for me with
torture,
I think there has to be a threat assessment. Okay, so somebody's planning an attack. Well, I don't think you really need to go as far as torturing somebody to effectively get that information out of them. Oh, somebody's planted a bomb, and it's going to go off in 2 hours, and 5,000 people are going to die. Torture his ass.
Yeah.
Pull out his fingernails. Pull out his eyelashes.
Make him listen to Justin Bieber. With screaming babies.
Right. Make him listen to Justin Bieber 24/7. Do what you got to do to get out that information.
While eating cucumber and onion sandwiches.
Onion sandwiches. Put him on a Carnival cruise.
so we have created a new enhanced interrogation technique altogether. First, we're going to put you on a plane with some screaming babies. Then you're going to listen to some Justin Bieber music for 24 hours.
Then we're going to put you on a boat for 5 days.
We're going to put you on a boat
with urine coming down the walls
and crap on the floor, and you're going to eat cucumber and onion sandwich. You're going to tell us what we want to know.
Right, and then when you finally get to the ground and you kiss the ground, we're going to put you on a bus.
Put you on the bus and send you to Mississippi. Realized that slavery was over.
Right, and since you're closer to black than white, you're going to have a ball in Mississippi.
Well, you think it's hot in the desert. We should get out there and start picking that cotton without a hat.
Right, and no shoes on.
And they got you working
like a field slave. Then we'll talk.
Oh, you're going to be coming to us with some information.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry. I think the movie influenced me to a certain degree, to lean me more in this.
You know,
direction.
Oscars is coming up Sunday.
Oscars coming up. Have you seen Zero Dark Thirty?
Yes, I have. I've seen all of the nominated movies except for Amour. I started watching it, but it was all subtitled, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and my eyes were crossing trying to watch the movie and read the subtitles.
Right, I understand that. Especially with
and I didn't watch Les Mis because I saw the play, and I hated the play when I saw it.
Yeah, and I could really care about the French. But
right.
I have to say about Zero Dark Thirty, I saw it after the Super Bowl, and shocked, it wasn't about the lights going out at the Super Bowl. Nor was it the Jamie Foxx movie. I thought, you know,
you make me
slave. And you know, is zero darkies at night. I didn't know that.
You didn't know it wasn't Django Unchained.
Yeah, it was Django. That's what it was called. I thought, you know, what do I know? But
which is a very, very good movie, by the way.
Yes, I have been told, and I definitely want to see it before the Oscars or before it comes out on DVD. And I do want to see Argo as well.
Which is also a very, very good movie.
This is a good Oscar.
Silver Linings Playbook is going to win.
Really? You think? What do you think is going to happen with the movie about the little girl living in the bayou?
Beasts of the Southern Wild. She's not quite in the bayou. I love that movie. Love it, love it, love it. I don't think it's going to get any awards. I think that she absolutely deserves to be in the Best Actress category, but given her age, she's not going to get it. They're going to say, oh, you know, she's got 30 years in front of her.
Right, and of course, she could end up being like, was it Natalie Portman that won an Oscar at a very young age?
No, Anna Paquin.
It wasn't. Anna Paquin, right? I get it.
Yeah, for the piano.
Both of them were little girls.
For young actresses, yeah. And Tatum O'Neal won, but not for Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress.
Right, and Tatum has gone on to do so much more in her career.
I think it's going to be between Jessica and Jennifer. They've both been getting a lot of buzz. If it's not Jessica or Jennifer, then consider it a complete and total surprise. They might throw it to Emmanuel Riva because of her age. She's on her way out. You know, Hollywood gets sentimental like that. But I really think it's between Jennifer and Jessica.
Well, you know, when it's a tight race like this, especially when it comes to the actress category, when it's always tight like this, I think you should put your money on Marissa Tomei.
Don't make me laugh. I think the biggest upset is going to be Lincoln. Because when Lincoln first came out, everybody was like, Oscar this, Oscar that, it's going to blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, the nominations did not add up to what was expected. I don't think it's going to walk away with anything.
Well, I know it was quite a surprise in Mississippi.
Right. All you had to do was ask Mississippi. Mississippi would have told you. I think that Catherine Bigelow will win for Zero Dark Thirty. Who I would like, I would prefer Ben Affleck or Quentin Tarantino. And it's so hard for me to say I would prefer Ben Affleck to win an Oscar, well, another Oscar, because it's Ben Affleck, right? But
right,
when
but
you
it's,
look at
it's
his
not
body
his acting,
of work,
right? It's not his acting, he's directing this.
Right. Well, he was in it, too. But, yeah,
he's not nominated for acting. He's nominated for directing. Right.
But, I mean, I saw the, I have to remind myself, wait a minute, he also did The Town, and The Town was really good.
Town was very good. Yeah, I don't think it was Oscar-worthy. Because, first of all, and I know we have, our friend of the show, Ed, who lives in Boston, I just wonder, why would I live in Boston? Because for a while there, a lot of movies coming out of Boston were about some horrific stuff. The Town, Mystic River, Ted. I mean, why would you want to live?
Well, I mean, I think we've had enough of the Southeast. No offense. But, I mean, how many different movies do we need to really have about the Southeast? I mean, if every black movie came out about Harlem, that would get old really, really fast.
Yeah, real fast. You get tired. Well, there was that time in the 70s where every movie, black movie was about Harlem.
And you see what happened to that genre.
Right. Right.
And it's my favorite genre. You know I'm a blaxploitation chick. I have 103 titles in my house. But, I mean, and it wasn't that Harlem got old, but the black guy with two prostitutes on each arm walking down the street, boobies out, and instantly going into karate and beating up, like, Chinese karate masters.
Black
got
Dynamite.
Really old.
Black Dynamite.
Right. Love Black Dynamite. So, back to the Oscars, I think the best picture is going to be a toss-up between Zero Dark Thirty and Silver Linings Playbook. And Silver Linings Playbook is surprising a lot of people. It didn't have wide release. It kind of snuck in there. And it's also why I think that Bradley Cooper's going to get the Oscar. I don't think Denzel is going to get it for Flight. I was actually unimpressed with his performance in Flight, believe it or not. Smart Money has been on Daniel Day-Lewis until more and more people start seeing Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings.
Well, Silver Linings Playbook has all the earmarks of a movie that I will watch on HBO. Not to say it's not a good movie, but I'm not paying my money what a movie costs today to see something
right.
That will be on a chick channel soon. I mean, it's just me, Lifetime.
Well, it's
movies.
Not going to be on the chick channel.
It'll be on HBO,
now.
but it wasn't a big budget Hollywood story,
right.
It would be
I
on a Lifetime
take your
channel.
Point. Yeah, I absolutely take your point. The best supporting actor category, I'm pissed. I think Christopher Waltz is going to win it. I want him to, but I'm really pissed that Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel L. Jackson didn't make the cut, because anybody who sees Django, I mean, the writing was on the wall. You never will have, not anymore anyway. There was a time where it was possible to have three actors up for the same award mm-hmm. from the same movie. So I knew mm-hmm. they were going to cut somebody. But I would have loved to have seen at least two, because all three of them, when you see that movie, their performances were out of this world.
Well, it doesn't work in the actors category, but for actors, it gets to a point where the Oscars, I think, the Oscar voters over the years get tired of certain actors, and I don't think there's been a year gone by where Leonardo DiCaprio hadn't been in two to three movies in the last 10 years. And I think, and he's been nominated several times. And I think maybe she's going to come up against some bias of we're sick of Leo.
But you know what? Philip Seymour Hoffman was nominated again, and this is like his fifth or sixth nomination, if I'm remembering off the top of my head.
I thought it was just three. I know he won for Capote, for Truman Capote. And was he nominated in, not Steel Magnolias, what was that other one?
I don't remember. Philip Seymour Hoffman has been nominated a lot. Like Robert De Niro a lot? No. But I don't think he's been nominated any more or less than Leonardo. Leonardo was Gilbert Grape, Titanic. What was that one about the cops?
Wait a minute. Well, it was Gangs of New York and another Boston movie, The Departed.
The Departed. That's what I'm thinking about, The Departed. And did I say Inception?
You didn't say Inception, but Inception.
And then this one. So I think he's been nominated 5 times. I think it'll go to Christopher Waltz. It may go to Tommy Lee Jones. I will not be mad if it goes to Tommy Lee Jones. I loved Alan Arkin and Argo, but I think Tommy Lee Jones and Christopher Waltz chewed up the screen. And when you see Django, you will know why I'm upset that Sam and Leo weren't nominated and why I'm happy that Christoph was. I also think that Quentin Tarantino got robbed, and you know I am no fan of Quentin Tarantino. I am.
He got Blood Diamond.
Was he nominated for Blood Diamond?
He was nominated for Blood Diamond. He was nominated for The Aviator. He was.
The Aviator.
Gilbert Grape. I thought he was nominated for J. Edgar, but evidently wasn't.
No, I said Gilbert Grape. I said Inception.
Which he wasn't, but he was.
Oh, he wasn't? Okay. Titanic.
Right.
Which he was, because he was the only one that didn't win. Remember that?
No, true confessions, I don't watch the Oscars much anymore, because after the Color Purple and Out of Africa debacle.
That debacle, oh my God. Yeah, I didn't watch the Oscars for about 10 years. Watch it for about 6 years. When Do the Right Thing, I watched it when Do the Right Thing was nominated, and then I watched it when Malcolm X was nominated. But between that time, so America, Color Purple was up for either 11 or 14 awards. I think it was 14.
What?
And
no,
got
Color Purple
nothing.
Was up 14, right. Got zero.
Got nothing. Yeah. Zero. Nothing in the director, movie, acting, costume. It got totally shut out, and Black America was pissed.
Right, and but because Out of Africa won, there were certain white people saying, "Well, why are you upset? Out of Africa won."
Are you kidding me? So I think, even though I didn't see Les Mis, I think Anne Hathaway is going to get it. I was thinking Sally Field was, but then the buzz started to build about Anne Hathaway, and I think that she'll get it.
And Sally Field, again, another female who's won multiple times, who might just be, you know, they might give her the whole.
But you know what? Everybody in the supporting role for actor, all of them have won before, except for maybe Tommy Lee. I think Tommy Lee won in the 70s or 80s for a movie. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But Alan Arkin's won, Robert De Niro's won, Philip Seymour Hoffman's won, and Christopher Waltz has won. In fact, this might be the first time that every nominee in a category is a previous winner.
Hmm.
I can't, off the top of my head, I cannot think of another year, even going back to the 30s, I can't think of another year where everybody in that category is a previous winner.
Well, you know movies, well, you know movie history more than I know, and you're a critic by trade, so I can't dance with you on that one. But I do know that Tommy Lee won for The Fugitive, which was the 90s.
Not was it The Fugitive?
Yes, it was
The Fugitive. I thought it was some war movie he did in the 70s.
No, he wasn't really.
It was The Fugitive? Okay. Well, I stand corrected.
Outhouse,
it was
Boathouse, Fugitive. In-house, in-box, whatever. That,
you know. No, he said outhouse, cat. He said outhouse, hen-house, and boathouse. I think that's all the houses he said. I think I would encourage people to see The Beast of the Southern Wild.
I
don't
do
want to
see that now, but I can't find it on my bootleg.
I got your back. it's a different kind of movie. It's really, really different. I mean, it's low budget, but you will
small
not
budget.
Forget.
Small budget. Will, there's a difference.
Small
not
budget.
Not low budget.
Small
budget. Come on.
You will not forget her performance when that movie is over. And it's a strange movie. It's not your typical movie. It's set in Louisiana in a place called the Fishbowl, maybe?
Yeah,
I forget.
Fishbowl.
I think it's called the Fishbowl. And they're basically on the other side of the levee. And they're really, really dirt poor. And, you know, he's a single father raising her the best way that he can. And he's kind of raising her like a little boy. But just how she just, it's like 6 months of her life. And it's amazing. And it's just, it's like, it's almost like they're in another world. There's a whole nother culture within the culture of Louisiana that's exposed in Beast of the Southern Wild. And then there's briefly like I want to say some fantasy, kind of something that's in her imagination that kind of throws off the movie a little bit, but stick with it. It's a really, really good movie, and she deserves her nomination. She's amazing in it. And for somebody who has never acted before, she just answered a casting call when she was six, just on a whim, and got the part.
Hmm. Well, if we're going to talk about fantasy casting calls and dreams coming true, before we get too deep, can we talk about Mark Sanford
and his apology tour?
Well, it's not even an apology tour; it's a comeback apology tour. I'm coming back. I'm going to be stronger than ever. And I'm going to become senator of the great state of South Carolina, because if you thought I was hiking the Appalachian Trail before, which I thought was a new term for anal sex,
you're going straight to hell for that.
This man is now running for Senate, running for Congress, wants to be a senator from South Carolina. So he can really get bitches. I don't understand this country sometimes. He's going to be replacing the vacated seat, or he's running to replace Jim DeMint, and Jim DeMint's vacated seat, which is now held by I can't remember the gentleman's name from South Carolina, who is fronting. If South Carolina goes ahead and elects this man to Congress, to the Senate, I'm going to move South Carolina straight into Mississippi. Because,
you know, in South Carolina, the state that had that cross-eyed black man running against Jim DeMint, what's his name, Alan Green?
Alan Keyes gets brought up to run against everybody all over the country.
No. But remember this guy was like out of nowhere, and the joke is that the Republicans are the ones who actually put him up. I think his name was Alan Green, and he was a little cross-eyed.
And nobody more cross-eyed than what's the pundit that comes on MSNBC and CNN.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't as cross-eyed as him.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Oh,
remember.
And I was wrong. Ben Affleck is not up for directing. It's just up for Best Picture. My bad.
But it's his picture, so he would get it.
Yeah. Well, the way it works is for Best Picture, it's the producers are the ones that usually accept the award, and I don't know if he produced it or not.
Well, even the director if it wins the best movie, the director is usually the one that gets the Oscar, right?
No. No.
Hmm.
The producers are the one that usually go upstate. Are you saying who collects it?
Yeah.
No, it's usually the producer. I mean, they'll bring up, like, the cast and the entourage and stuff, but it'll be the producers who accept it.
Oh.
And it goes to the producers.
Okay. Oh, I did not know that. I always see... always see, like, the director and everybody in the cast go on stage, even though the director may not win. And that's recent history, right? Because usually if the picture won, then the director won. But I always saw...
You mean the director's nominated and the picture's nominated?
Last 15 years or so that... you could have a different picture winning Best Picture and a different director winning for Best Director. They usually went hand in hand.
Not always.
And I know that...
if you look at the old footage and for, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, have you ever noticed that Michael Douglas is the one who gets up and accepts the award for the picture? He wasn't the director. He was the producer.
Oh, okay. Because
that's how Michael Douglas has an Oscar. He has an Oscar for producing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I thought he got an Oscar for marrying what's your
Catherine
name?
Catherine Zeta.
Oh, Lord, because he get an Oscar for that.
I mean, he might have an acting Oscar, maybe for like Wall Street. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I definitely know that he has the Best Picture Oscar for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, and back on, before I forget, it was Warehouse, Farmhouse, Hen House, Outhouse, and Doghouse.
Okay, good, because I was going to lose sleep.
I'd already lost sleep over it. That's why I had to look it up.
So
Michael Douglas has won two Oscars.
One for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and the other for...
Best Picture for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, shared with Saul Zint.
Yeah, that's the other producer.
And Oscar for Leading Actor in Wall Street.
That's what I said.
And a Lifetime Achievement Award for marrying Catherine Zeta-Jones when he should have chained her
right.
Himself.
I'm not always 100% right on Oscar stuff, but I'm pretty close. I'm in the 90s. It's an occupational hazard. Just like I can tell you within the last 15 years about when a movie came out. Sometimes I remember the exact date. It's crazy.
And, you know, my little known talent is I can see 15 seconds of any movie, whether I've seen it or not. I can see 15 seconds of any movie on television and tell you the title and who's in it, whether I've ever seen the movie or not. That's my odd little talent that would get me on the Letterman show.
So I want to talk about some current movies. I've seen three movies here recently, and I felt that I was back in 1987. But Arnold Schwarzenegger had a new movie out. Sylvester Stallone had a new movie out, and Bruce Willis had a new movie out. And
Arnold
surprisingly,
actually, I mean,
none of them made me
especially
stupid. Huh?
Sylvester had two movies out this year, recently.
What was his other movie?
Bullet to the Head and Expendables 2.
Expendables 2 came out last year.
Still same season.
No.
Been 6 months.
Maybe. But I was talking about my recent, not your recent. My recent covers the last 8 weeks.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So here's what I want to impart upon America. There is a method to the madness of movie releases. clearly it's obvious, you know, summer blockbusters, that's a given. After Labor Day, between Labor Day and Christmas, that's when they start putting out the heavy hitters, the ones that they want to get nominated. You know, they'll throw in Saw 8 or some, you know, dumb cop, buddy cop movie. But for the most part, they're putting out the movies they want to be nominated. January and February, they put out the movies that will cause you to lose IQ points. Any movie, January and February is the movie trash can, and I'm very serious about that. The exception is sports movies that are released in January and February tend to do good. And by good, I mean they'll take in $60 million. They do the extended releases of the movies that have been nominated. They want to get that extra money. But everything else that's released in January and February sucks goat balls.
Mm.
Which brings me to The Last Stand, Bullet to the Head, and A Good Day to Die Hard. Now, I'm cutting them some slack because, you know, you and I, well, I'm a tad bit younger than you, but we kind of grew up on Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, to a later extent, Bruce Willis and, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal. You know, those were kind of who we saw as we were coming up. So, and I've missed seeing them on screen. But I can tell you, I haven't missed, you know, 65-year-old Sylvester Stallone fully tatted up, shirtless. He looks good for somebody 66, but cover it up. Just cover it up. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank God they don't, you know, drug test for movies because Sylvester Stallone couldn't pass a PED test.
I fully believe that.
Or watch the Olympics.
Right. And I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it out loud. But he was on swole.
Yeah, well, he didn't
he
admit to
unnaturally,
it.
He looks unnaturally swole for somebody his age.
Right. He didn't come out and say it, but it was obvious when he was working out with Franco Colombo back in the day to do the Rambo pictures and the Rocky movies. He was doing something other than just natural lifting. Same thing with Joe Piscopo back in the 80s when he went through his I'm going to be a bodybuilder thing when he looked like a swollen cricket.
Right. Oh, my God. He was so gross looking.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. I forgot about that.
And they would put him on the cover of Muscle and Fitness magazine with
right.
You know.
That was so crazy. So should you spend your money on these movies?
No.
Not really. I mean, you know, they don't have $3 matinees anymore. There's $7 matinees. So I don't even like telling people to go to the matinees anymore. But I found myself not exactly hating them. It was
you
just
the
most bizarre.
You didn't hate the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, really?
I didn't hate it. I really didn't. I didn't hate the Sylvester Stallone movie either. I didn't hate A Good Day to Die Hard. And I think that's part of it is because I was like a 14-year-old white boy in my former life. So it was like the only thing I can't do is the WWE. I'm over that. But,
so
I mean,
now,
I was like, oh, cool.
See,
look,
you go
look
to
at the car
white
flips
boy
it.
And all the Pope's people just cringed. I don't know.
I'm like, oh, cool. Look at the car flip 15 times. Oh, you know what else I saw? I saw Parker. Didn't hate that either. Now,
well,
Jennifer Lopez.
I can't bring myself to see a Good Day to Die Hard 7, whatever it is.
I think this is the fifth one, right?
The first one was good. The second one sucked. The second one had James Evans.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Damn. And then the third
right.
one had Sam. The
fourth
one was
Sam,
about
was
his.
Good.
The fourth
one was good.
The fourth one was about his. Are you trying to hit these people? The fourth one was about his daughter. And this is the fifth one because this one's about his son.
Okay. So that one, the last one, sucked so much. And it to me, the ones that suck are always done by people who have no idea of the geography in which they are. So the one with James Evans, the terrorists had taken over National Airport, and had planes crashing and circling the airport for hours. When, of course, you're out in the Great Midwest, in the left coast, and you don't know that National Airport, BWI, and Dulles are all within 15-minute flights of each other. So this movie would have made no sense. It would have never happened, because if you say we're closing National, then they would divert everybody to BWI or Dulles. No big deal. I mean, they're all within a stone's throw of each other as the jet flies, which that
right.
made me go, this really, really sucks. And then the one that came out before this, where they had the terrorists trying to break into Social Security Administration, really? And having contracted at SSA, you know, and they had these armed guards with M16s guarding SSA, like, really? We have guards at Social Security Administration that will not move for anything other than their donut rolled off of their plate that they were getting ready to put a cheeseburger on. So the movie was just horrid. And to me, you know, I'm anxiously looking forward to Red 2.
Me too. I love Red. And see, that's the kind of movie I think that Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger Bruce. Should be concentrating on. I mean, Bruce Willis did it right in that one. You know, it wasn't difficult for him to play, you know, an aging guy. But, I mean, you know, it has one of my favorite scenes of any action movie. When he gets out of the car and the car swoops, like, right past his ankle.
Yes.
I was like, that's cool.
In the middle of the street in New Orleans, which, again, love my town. So I could see that. Because he was more savvy than he was a superhero.
That's freaking awesome. And then, you know, when John Malkovich, you know, has his little pig, and he swears up and down that woman is after them, and he fires the gun into her rocket launcher.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, and I wish that there were more movies like Red for our aging actors to participate in. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I liked Expendables, the first one. I mean, it didn't fit that mold exactly. It wasn't mature, but it gave older actors a chance to shine again for a little bit, and it wasn't too far out of, you know, it wasn't too crazy. Now, Expendables 2, I was like, oh, this is some bullshit.
Right.
But
well,
Expendables
1. Another part of Red that I loved was Helen Mirren's part when they were explaining that she was a wet work expert. And the actress, the girl said, what? And she said, I kill people, honey. You know?
Right. Oh, when she threatens her, she says, if you break Francis's heart. And she's like, who is Francis? You know, and I keep hoping that Morgan Freeman, you know, I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but I hope that we see Morgan Freeman again. They haven't said so in Red 2, and that would be a spoiler anyway, so they probably won't say it if he's back.
There's no spoilers in five-year-old movies. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, you need to see it. And excuse me, but Jay Davidson is a guy in The Crying Game. So you can go.
Oh, I was like, where are you going with this? Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's another reason why one of my favorite movies is The Thomas Crown Affair. There's nothing spectacular about The Thomas Crown Affair except for it's adults doing adult things. That's not, you know, Bow Chicka Wow Wow.
I love Chicka Bow Wow.
I'm sure you do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, come on. It's that time again where we have to say goodbye to all our friends and family.
Yes. Keep your fingers crossed that I won on my Oscar ballot. I think I got 20 of 24 right.
Can we honestly both agree now that we don't want The Life of Pi to win?
I like The Life of Pi. I don't want it to win Best Picture, but I did like it. It's a really good movie.
I'm tired of Ang Lee. I'm just tired of Ang Lee.
Yeah, Ang Lee is overrated, but that is a good movie. Your son would like that movie.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't.
No.
Right now, he's stuck on The Hobbit, and it's driving me crazy. If he sings that daggone dwarf song one more time, I'm going to have to.
I did not like The Hobbit.
native, but, you know, he's becoming a Tolkien. So.
Not only didn't I like The Hobbit, I didn't know they had broken it into three parts. So when it ended, I was like, what the hell? What kind of ending is this?
Yeah, I had the same reaction when I first saw the first Lord of the Rings movie.
Well, see, I knew that was in three parts. But how about part two comes out this December and part three comes out December 2014?
Yeah, they got you hooked. You're going to spend that money and buy those toys.
I'm through. I don't want to see part two, honestly.
Mm-mm-mm. Well.
All right, another good. Go Dolphins. Tell Corbin Dean.
Corbin's lost in the sauce.
I'm going to have a chat with Corbin Dean. Go Dolphins. Sorry,
cool.
I was late, man.
That's
you know?
Okay, love. When you got to wipe up crap, you got to wipe up crap.
I was headed to the phone and was squished. I said, what the?
Am I on a cruise ship?
What is that smell? And I couldn't yell at her because she just looked so pitiful, you know. She couldn't make it downstairs. She tried. She's not having trouble walking all the time, but sometimes her hip just gives out and she'll just fall. And I think that's what happened.
That, to me, is a good time with the right woman. I'm just saying. As I get older.
You're so silly. Okay, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, love.
Okay, bye.